views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People Talk Radio. Good morning. You're listening to Aaron and Elizabeth and our great music of master Bob Martin, bringing you all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. Good morning, Aaron.
Hello.
We are going to dial right into our guest because he is a very busy man, and we want to get as much out of him as we can. We are speaking with Steve Dace. He is a talk show personality in Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
Three cups of coffee, and I'm on my way. And Steve is also an author, and we're going to plug his book in a few minutes, but he is politically in the now and the know, and recently has given some commentary about his choice for president in the 2012 elections. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. We know you're super busy. We appreciate you giving us a call out here on the West Coast where we could use somebody like you, actually.
Well, thank you. We're working on that, actually. Our start as of December 5th, our show is being nationally distributed by the Salem Radio Network. We're up to about 30 radio stations right now, so hopefully we'll be able to get out to your neck of the woods sometime soon.
Looking forward to it.
Nice. Okay, so talk to us about presidential politics.
Well, what do you want to know? It's a little bit like in seminary when they say, hey, define God and give three examples.
Hey, so, well, you know, Steve, you recently came out with your endorsement of Newt Gingrich, and then you were immediately on all the mainstream media networks. Mm-hmm. So is it safe to assume that your endorsement carries some weight?
And I think it, well, it's a little bit like asking Cindy Crawford, hey, do you think you're attractive? I mean, that's a tough question to answer. I do think that...
I think it does.
I think when you have a show that is carried as prominently as ours is in the First in the Nation caucus state for the last several years, I mean, any platform of that magnitude is going to give somebody influence. It's just a matter of how much. And now our show is carried, for example, I've got two three-hour affiliates each day in South Carolina, one in Rock Hill and another in Greenville. And I have not been shy, I guess we'll say, over the last few weeks of talking to my audience down there in South Carolina about why I endorsed Newt, and I think this election is so important. So hopefully it has some influence. I think any talk radio host that doesn't have influence probably isn't a very good talk radio host.
There you have it. Hey, so buzz through your endorsement. You know, what made that up for you?
To me, I could really narrow it down to one issue. One major issue and then a secondary one. Obviously, Newt is a candidate that comes with baggage that is well documented, and we all know about that. And as someone who was sitting here in the First in the Nation caucus state, with the exception of Mitt Romney, I got a chance to know and vet these candidates probably as closely as anybody in the country did. And the reality is that the agenda that you guys laid out here at the start of your show, in terms of applying that agenda to this crop of Republican presidential candidates, they each have baggage on their records that I can't apologize for, I can't excuse, I don't understand, and I don't agree with. And I think that leaves those of us that want to see the agenda you started your show off with carry the day. We have two options. One is to simply say, you know what, my conscience just will not allow me to justify any of these candidates, given what they've done in the past, to violate the principles we're fighting for. And I'm okay if someone makes that decision. They just need to understand that decision has consequences. Or you make the decision, is there someone in this race that, despite their baggage, is offering solutions on issues that me, particularly not just with those issues, but as a person of faith, that my conscience will allow me to say, hey, I'll put my integrity on the line for that person. And after vetting Newt as a human being, with his daughters, meeting his sons-in-law, seeing people in his family that have seen who he is as a man, I think one big difference between Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain, frankly, both men have dealt with baggage in their past from about the same time period, the mid to late 1990s. Here's a big difference. Herman Cain's wife and children were never around. They never vouched for him. They never validated him. They never came to his defense until the very end. Newt's family, his daughters, his sons-in-law, they have campaigned. They have been on the trail out and about for him from the very beginning. And I think when you start talking about this is your children's grandfather and the influence that you're willing to let him have on them, who is a better character witness about a man's life changing than your children? Because if they're willing to put their children's stake into your responsibility, I think that's key. That clear that they understand that they've seen enough life change there to justify that. So I was satisfied that the man has grown and matured and changed enough to overcome his past that we all know about. So that brought me to one big issue. And I think this is an issue we're not talking a lot about. I've spent the last 2 years on my radio program talking a lot about it. We had a historic retention election of 3 judges in Iowa about this issue. And that is the issue of the rule of law. Where does the law come from? Who determines what the law is? What if there is a conflict in those interpretations of the law? Do we live in a country where unelected judges, as Michelle Bachmann described them, become black-robed masters, or their own unelected constitutional convention, where they get to pass edicts from on high, and you the voter, have no ability to check and balance that? Or do we live in the system our founders gave us, with equal branches of government and a separation of powers, where the people rule? And if your listeners were to look at every major policy advance before Obamacare that the left has made in this country, they've all come from the courts. And I'm not just talking about the social issues like marriage and Roe versus Wade. The idea that, you guys are in California. You know where the idea that that taxpayers have to fund illegal aliens came from? A court decision, Plyler versus Doe. That's where that came from. The idea that your private property can be confiscated now, not for traditional eminent domain, but for private economic development. Where did that come from? Kelo versus New London, a court decision. This idea, and I could go on and on, but this idea that we are judged, that we should be ruled by laws made by those we didn't elect, I'm sorry, but that is just endemically opposed at a foundational level to the American Revolution. And after having every one of these candidates in my studio, most of them anyway, in my studio, or the people that are closest to them, there was one candidate who understood these principles, and not just understood them, because there were others that understood them, but had a plan about how to act on those principles. And that candidate was Newt Gingrich, because I can promise you and your audience this. You can elect as many conservatives, as many Tea Partiers, as many Republicans, as many churchgoers as you want. Until we recover the rule of law, nothing will fundamentally change, period.
You know, and that's something that we try to encourage people to understand, is that it really doesn't always matter who you elect, but how you pay attention to the bureaucracy, because mm-hmm. the regulations and the fees and the fines and every other conceivable way to fund themselves that comes down the pike, that's right. Where all the pressure is coming from on the American citizen.
Exactly. I mean, think about regulatory boards. In my state, we had a debate about the legalization of medicinal marijuana, as you guys have had in California.
Huge.
Yeah, we lost that debate.
let's just set aside what position you take on that debate. How about the fact that in my state, in Iowa, we debated that at the administrative level, where the pharmacy board made the determination of what would be a legal substance for people to purchase or not? You know what's funny, though? I don't recall ever voting for the pharmacy board.
Yeah, no
Maybe
kidding.
Somebody else in Iowa has. I never have, okay? I voted for legislators. Instead, what they do is they pawn off their responsibility on judges, on administrative agencies, and the more this goes on, the less and less the system is accountable to the voters. Should it be any surprise that the bigger the government gets is a direct result of the less people have a chance to participate in their government? That should not be a surprise. The more that you are governed by people who you do not elect, the bigger the government will get. And that has been the lesson of the last generation or two.
Well, when we come back, we've got to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I'd like to hear from you what your thoughts were on two things. Who was the weakest candidate that came through that's actually still in the race? And mm-hmm. and also, you have a lot of charges levied at Newt Gingrich that he is a big government globalist. And so obviously you decided that he was not. So we'd be real interested to know what caused you to come to that conclusion. And sure. We'll be right back and we'll talk about those two things. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
The gods may grow with ice, their minds as cold as ice, and someone way down here loses someone dear. The winner takes it all, the loser has to fall. It's simple and it's plain. Why should I complain?
Welcome back to We the People Radio. We're talking with Steve Dace, a former host of the number one talk radio station in the station's history. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
Yeah, the highest rated afternoon drive show in the history of WHO, which, just a little trivia, WHO Radio in Des Moines, Iowa, is the radio station that claims as its first ever sports director Ronald Wilson Reagan. That was his first broadcast.
Oh, nice.
That's fun.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, so we're going to get back into what Aaron wanted to talk about, but before we let you off the hook, we need to plug your book at the end.
Thank you very much. The book is called We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. And I think this book is not just for social conservatives, but might even be more prescient for Tea Partiers. Because the Tea Party movement has accomplished in one election cycle what it really took the religious right 10 to 15 years to accomplish. And that is, you have the system scared of you. Okay?
Yeah, we think so.
But the key is, when they get scared of you, they're going to start offering you stuff you already have. And they're going to dangle the seat at the table in front of you. And this is the mistake the religious right made. The religious right made the decision. It was better to have access than to drive issues and an agenda.
Now your
and
book
the more access they got, the worse candidates we got, and the less of our agenda we got. And I think the lesson there for the Tea Party movement is, the more you hold a gun, metaphorically speaking, at the system from the outside, the more from the system you will get. You'll make it buckle. If you get on the inside and think, well, we'll change it from the inside out, I can just promise you, human history is replete with failed missions along those lines. Almost all change throughout human history occurs from the outside in and not the inside out. So I think this book, I mean, you could just use this as a blueprint for Tea Partiers, because they're the next wave of really truly moral, constitutional political activism in this country. They're going to pick up the pieces from where groups like the religious right left off. And if they don't learn from that past, they're likely going to repeat it.
So, and, you know, you've been, you're a columnist for townhall.com, and you've been featured in everything from Fox News, CBS, MSNBC, ABC, The National Review, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Politico, Time, Newsweek, on and on and on. And you're actually starting a book club, basically, during one hour a week on your podcast. You will discuss one chapter at a time of this book, and the reviews say that you really need to put your critical thinking cap on.
Yes, because this book is a little bit like the Matrix films, where if you take this pill, you're going to find out how far down the rabbit hole really goes. Let's just look at one example happening right now. I like Rick Santorum. I know of all the presidential candidates, I actually know Rick on a personal level the best, and he's a really cool dude. I was invited to go to this meeting last weekend in Texas of religious right leaders. I didn't go. Why? Because I knew it was going to turn out the way that it did, sadly, because I spent 3 years working on this book, so I know how this, I know the MO, how this, this, we always end up here circling the drain in the same exact spot. Just look what's happened since Rick Santorum allegedly got these huge endorsements of these religious right leaders. His polling numbers this week have tanked. They've tanked. He has the same minuscule funding that he had, that he started the week with. In fact, there have been more faith leaders that have come out to endorse Newt Gingrich this week than to come out to endorse Rick Santorum. Now, why is that? Well, it's the same reason Mike Huckabee didn't get their support 4 years ago. Because half of these leaders really are naive about the system and their windmill tilters. And then the other half, really, they're more concerned about access and a seat at the table and who speaks at the next banquet than they are driving the agenda. And caught in the middle of this is Rick Santorum. You know, all the money and organization Rick Santorum needs to run for president, ladies, these religious right leaders could have given it to him 5 days ago. I mean, they've got mailing lists of 25 million people on their email lists. Focus on the Family on their 990 form, I think, claims $140 million in assets. I mean, wow. If these guys just sent out an email, if FRC and Focus and all these groups sent a, that want that claim that they want Rick Santorum to be the president, you know, listen, your husbands can tell you they love you all they want, but if they don't actually do anything that demonstrates it, who gives a rip, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell me you want Rick Santorum to be president, but if you're not at least willing to send out an email to everybody on your list that says, send Rick Santorum $5 one time, and if they did that, he'd have Mitt Romney money by the Florida primary. They haven't done that.
So why not? So why not? What are they?
That's the million-dollar question. Some of it, I believe, is incompetence and weakness, naivete. And then I think some of it, frankly, is realpolitik. I think these guys are these guys knew they looked weak and with egg on their faces when they didn't back Mike Huckabee 4 years ago. And they whitewashed Romney's record of taxpayer-funded abortions in Massachusetts. And they don't want to look weak again, so they went out, and that way they can say, if Romney's the nominee, yeah, we're supporting someone who betrays everything we told you for 30 years actually matters, but we got to beat Obama, don't you know? And hey, we tried. We endorsed Rick Santorum, who's a great guy, but he just didn't get it done.
And that way they have no real skin in the game.
That's right. That's
huh.
Right.
Interesting.
Because what's happened is a movement has become an industry, and there's a difference between the two.
Sure.
A movement seeks change. An industry seeks survival. An industry becomes a bureaucracy. And this is the lesson of the Tea Party for the Tea Party movement going forward. If you want to affect change, stay organic in a movement as long as you can and hold off the temptation to become an industry. And 'cause the media and the Republican Party will tell you, you need to be more organized. That means you need to become an industry.
But haven't you heard? We're dead.
Well, yes, exactly.
Our movement is dead.
And once you form an industry, industry doesn't thrive on change.
No, it doesn't.
It
absolutely. The Peter Principle takes over. Exactly.
Yeah, you have to keep an industry.
There is a place that the Tea Party needs to become unified and national, and that is in your agenda.
Yeah.
The one weakness I see of the Tea Party movement is that it's predicated on what it doesn't want. What does it want instead?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're taxed enough already. Do you want to reform the system? Do you want the fair tax? Do you want the flat tax? Do you want to end crony capitalism? What do you want instead of Obamacare? I mean, I think that you can only vent against that which you're against for so long, and if you don't define for the political class what it is you want instead, they will take advantage of that and divide and conquer your ranks.
And that's the premise of your book with Christianity, is that the true right Christians didn't really know what they wanted.
No, they just thought, boy, it really sucks that the Berkeley crowd has taken over the culture. If only we could do something about it. And we don't like abortion, and we don't want to redefine marriage, and we think the government's too big, and we think taxes are too high. Okay, well, what do you want instead? Now, speaking for people of faith, if you look at the history of Christianity, it is at its best when it stands for what it's for and not what it's against. And I think that's true of all reform movements throughout human history. When you are defined by what you're for, you will inspire in the end, you'll challenge the system and inspire the like-minded to act on their shared courage of conviction. When you stand for what you're against, yeah, people get pissed off for a while and they'll storm the Bastille, but in the end, the anger dissipates. And see, what you're against, that's the French Revolution. That's where the peasants storm the Bastille because they're so ticked off at the ruling class and they just start indiscriminately cutting off the heads of the masses. The American Revolution is, here are the principles we're for. Here's not what we're fighting against. Here's what we're fighting for. And there is a difference.
We here we figured that out at the very beginning before we ever really got started. We decided we didn't want to be a movement against, because if you do that, I mean, like the president, you know, they're always saying, "Oh, you guys are just against Obama." Well, if that's true, then we put a whole lot of people together. We put a whole, you know, we put a whole program together, assemble everybody. He's out of office, and then the whole thing dies. I mean, it's flawed from the outset. So. The inside has to have some sort of staying power. Talk to me about the global tentacles that surround Newt Gingrich.
Well, I think it's much of a secret to most people. He's a member of the CFR. I'm trying to think of a president we've elected in the last 50 years, frankly, who hasn't been. And I can't think of one. Maybe somebody knows of one. I don't know. The only president, the only candidate I know that probably that's running this time that wouldn't go to a CFR meeting is Ron Paul. So, I mean, if that's your big issue, he's your guy. And I would encourage you to go vote for him. Just understand Ron Paul thinks that we ought to treat the Taliban like Chinese dissidents, which is just insane. So you better take the yin with the yang. I doubt that Newt's buddies at the CFR really cared for his pointing out that the Palestinians are a made-up people, which is true. If you look at history, I think a lot of people believe that the people, the Arab people in Israel called Palestinians, are just the same people the Jews have been fighting with since for that land since the book of Genesis, and that's not true. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. These people are largely people that were insurgents in Jordan, places like Jordan, and those countries kicked them out because they were causing too much trouble, and they ended up settling there in Palestine. But there isn't really any more a native Palestinian people. Newt is correct about that. And we need a president that will draw those kinds of distinctions, and those are the kinds of distinctions that the CFRs of the world, they don't want you to die. They don't want you to draw those distinctions. They want you to say we're all just one big, happy, humanistic melting pot of cultures, and as long as we just share wampum with everybody, they'll love us. And I think we all know that human history indicates that's not true.
Absolutely.
So I think Newt has clearly indicated, both in his past as a speaker and also as a presidential candidate, that he understands that's not true as well.
Talk to me about, you said you brought all these different people in and vetted them. You know, if you had 5 minutes with each candidate, you know, or 2 minutes, what do you start with? What was your criteria? What did it look like? How did you thin the herd, as they say?
What I want to know is, what does somebody really believe? So, for example, I'm not going to ask a candidate, you know, should the government spend more than it takes in? That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
Why? Because Bill Clinton balanced the budget, too. I doubt most of us think, though, that the government was small under Bill Clinton. Okay? So the idea that we've got to get beyond cliches when we vet candidates. I don't care that you're pro. Don't tell me you're pro-life. What does that mean? Okay? What have you done? Don't tell me you think marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, what's the moral principle behind that? And if you don't understand that, then you really don't believe it, no matter what you say. And I think this is where you've got to find out, you know, this is how we put it on my show, who are candidates of conviction and who are candidates of position. And there is a difference. And the ones of position are the ones that will sell you out once they're in office. And the ones of conviction are the ones that at least go in there with a moral standing behind them. But the temptation these people feel, you know, I've had a chance to know presidential candidates, congressmen, senators, many of my state legislators here in my state, the pressure that these people feel to sell out perpetually cannot possibly be understated. So even when you put somebody in office who's a person of conviction, to have the accountability and infrastructure behind them to keep them on the straight and narrow, the encouragement to make sure they get supported when they get things right, I think those things are key. See, we have a tendency to only speak up when we're ticked off because we got sold out. We're reactionary. We need to be far more preemptive. And so what I want to know is, what's somebody's worldview? You know, why do they have the conclusions they have? You know, do they understand free market economics because they saw Milton Friedman on the Donahue show once, or have they really studied it? What do they know? You know, what drives them? What motivates them? As opposed to, where are they at on the issues? That doesn't really tell me anything. Anybody can hold any position on the issues anytime they want.
Hey, and before we're coming up on just under a minute, I really want to plug your website, stevedace.com. That will be up on our webpage once this show airs. All the information about our guest today will be available to you on that media page, and that's at wethepeopleradio.us.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, can you stick with us through a break, or do you need to take off?
I've got maybe about 2 minutes. Then I've got to go.
Okay.
Why do we just keep him on for another 2 minutes then?
Well, then let's just stay on for another 2 minutes. How'd that work out? Okay, so somebody just landed it. They just woke up and realized there's a presidential election, and they're just starting to pay attention. In 2 minutes, give them direction.
To me, the level of compromise Romney represents compared to every other major Republican candidate for office, and I'm including John McCain, who I frankly loathe, is unprecedented. John McCain at least had a consistent record of fighting against government waste, of being a staunch supporter of national defense, despite all of the other issues he sold conservatives out on over the years. Mitt Romney has not held a consistent principle that I'm aware of in his entire political career. And what's really dangerous about that is if you take a candidate who is self-funded, which means if they're self-funded, you have no leverage with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you take a candidate with no moral core that you have no leverage with, that you want to talk about a dangerous proposition at a time that we really need leadership, that is it. And I think, to me, this is what we're looking for. In this last election, I'll use a football analogy because I'm a sports guy. In this last election, we had a goal line stand. The left was about to go in for the game-clinching touchdown with Obamacare, cap and trade, punch it in, game over, man. And we held them at the goal line and fired 700 Democrats in the last election. But when you have a goal line stand on defense and you get the ball back on offense, you know where the ball is at? Your own one-yard line. We're way behind. It is unlikely not too many 99-yard touchdown passes get thrown in a football game, and we're not going to throw one in this election looking at the candidates we have. So what you're looking for is a quarterback that can stand in there against the pressure with terrible field position and at least get you a key first down or two to move the ball down the field the right direction, to get some momentum going. And then if you stall out on your drive and you got to punt it back to the other team, they don't get the ball right back in your territory where a couple of first downs and they score their touchdown again. We've got to remove or reverse the field position in this election. We didn't get momentum out of that last election. We got a goal line stand. This is the election that will determine if we have momentum or not, and we need to find a president, particularly one that I think can stand up in a public venue and defend our value system against the scrutiny of the left and popular culture. We have not had that since Reagan left office. I think there's one candidate that does provide that. We saw this in the debate on Monday, and that's Newt Gingrich. Do not underestimate what 50 years of liberal control of public schools have done to the mentality of the average American. Having someone that can speak in 30, 60, 90-second sound bites that can be shared on Facebook and Twitter with your friends and over email that will impact their thinking, that's almost as important as what the policies they'll stand for are, because that's how you win the arena of ideas.
Okay. And
that is outstanding.
And don't forget the book co-authored with Greg Jackson, We Won't Get Fooled Again, available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at stevedace.com.
And we'll put a link on the website. All right, Steve, we're going to check in
with
you during,
so much.
During the campaign.
Thank you, guys.
Between now and then, you have a great day. Thanks for calling. We'll be back here at We the People Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
It gets so hard sometimes to understand. This vicious circle's getting out of hand. Don't need an extra eye to see that the fire spreads the faster and it breeds. And I don't wanna go on to you like that. Don't wanna be a feather in your cap. Just wanna tell you, honey, I ain't mad. But I don't wanna go on to you like that. I don't wanna go on.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Time is truly wasting. There's no guarantee. Smiles in the making. We gotta fight the powers that be. I don't understand that. People wanna say, yeah.
talking with We the People Radio at KCNR 1460. Shasta Redding. That was awesome. I like that
song. That was Boogie Madness.
I love it. I love it. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We've been goofing off.
We have been. So actually, the first portion with Steve Dace was pre-recorded a couple of weeks ago. And
yeah, don't ask us any questions because that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so Aaron and I just rolled in and just parked our little bottoms into the seats and slapped the headphones on, and here we are.
Bad visual. Kind of early for bad visuals.
Don't forget, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
There you go.
Check us out. We're chatting and streaming live.
And it says Bob is on the game. That's true. Bob was here at 8 o'clock.
Yes. I was actually here at 7:30.
Getting everything loaded on here. We have Dr. Michael Kaufman, who is also on the ball. He was here before we were technically, too, because he called in before we got here. So he's already been to church and raced back because he's all the way out there in Maine. So he's got a head start on the day. Dr. Kaufman, are you in there?
I am. Eager and ready to go.
Cool. Well, let's not burn any airtime here. What's going on with you these days? We haven't even had a chance to chat about what we're chatting about. So,
well, after basically being someplace in the country every week last summer and early fall, out right up to winter, I guess, I have had a couple of months break. I'm about ready to publish a new book called Rescue, or not Rescue, that's my old book.
I was like, didn't you publish that one already?
It's old in the sense it's a year old. But it is a new book called Plundering America by Law. I haven't got it down pat yet, so I have to think about it, the subtitle, and I'm having trouble. But it's about the progressive movement and how they're about to destroy this country. I give all kinds of examples, using the whole concept of Occupy Wall Street, who organized it, how it was done. It was highly organized with a very definite plan in mind to bring down the country, and they still are not finished with it yet. I think it's going to be resurrected this summer, and we need to be aware of that because the progressive ideology is literally destroying this country. There is no way you can look at it and not understand that. And I go into great depth on that in this new book, using current examples of Obama and so forth, of Pelosi, you name it, all the leaders and so forth in that movement, how they are literally using blame shifting and so forth to influence how people think, how you have been dumbed down. And I'm sorry to say this, folks, but if you went through a public education system and you're less than 50 years old, chances are you have been very much indoctrinated and really do not have a complete understanding of what's going on and how to address the problems that we're having right now. And I go into the book on all that. It's now going to be a fantastic book. I hope to have it out.
It sounds like it. Now, Dr. Kaufman, do you trace the history of the progressive movement?
Yes.
Sometimes people don't
recognize
it.
In fact, that was what tumbled me on to wanting to write this book. Is that I found text right back into the 1800s about progressives. They didn't call them progressives then, but they described them to a T. And the fact is that they have not changed in over 100 years. They have been doing this for a long, long time. And the real dangerous thing about it is that they're psychologically, from a pure psychiatry standpoint, they cannot connect with reality. That's their big weakness, is that they cannot connect to reality, so they institute all these grandiose plans and so forth that seem so wonderful and everything, and it's given us a $15.2 trillion deficit and $116 trillion unfunded liability that there is no way we can survive.
Wow.
we're dumbfounded on this end.
We just got here. Now we're all sad.
Yeah. Sorry to do that on a Sunday morning, but it's really serious.
No, it's true.
I don't know that there has ever been an election in this nation's history that is as important as this one. And unfortunately, we're going along and we're voting for the people who are just going to continue it. I just cannot believe what's happening in the Republican primaries now.
Oh, it's a joke.
The very people that could change this and could begin to stop it are the ones that are having to drop out because of lack of funding. And that's deliberate. Because as we talked about in my presentation when I was out there in Reading a year ago, they basically will fund or not fund candidates whom they support or don't support. And it makes all the difference in the world. We saw that in Florida last week with the primary and how much Romney outspent, like 5-1, the next contender, which was Newt. And, of course, then the two bottom candidates hardly got any votes at all, had hardly any money to spend on advertising and so forth. And we are being snowed. There's just no question about it. The machine grinds on.
Absolutely. And if you were going to give the top, I don't know. I mean, let's go through some of the examples. You know, I kind of always like to pretend that that we have, because I know we do, actually. We don't have to pretend. We have people on the line who think that everything you've just said is just, you know, can't substantiate it. It's just silliness. You know, what do you mean they're trying to destroy the country? I mean, that's just crazy. And we all know it's true.
I don't have it up front of me right now, so I can't actually give you the quotes. But I can give you quotes of different people who basically say their purpose is to destroy this country and rebuild it in a socialist, communist way. That is their intention. That's what the whole Occupy Wall Street movement was about. Now, understand that most of the people participating in Occupy the Wall Street had no clue of any of this. They were just out there for a good time, and they had no idea what they were really out there for. It was just a fun time trying to rock the establishment and so forth. But there is a very definite agenda. It's very well planned. Extremely, millions of dollars are being spent on this. And I have it all documented in this new book.
Now, when does the book come out?
I'm hoping by the middle of March. I was hoping by the 1st of March, but it's becoming apparent that that's not going to happen. And by the middle of March, and hopefully have some funding to be able to support the promotion, because there's no way that people are going to find out about it unless we have a marketing plan. And right now, I can't afford one.
So, on the other end of this election, should it not play out in our favor, what do you see the outcome being?
I don't think we're going to be able to secure a good president. I think that's almost all but sealed up right now. That could change. You know, with God, all things are possible. But with the Congress and Senate and state legislatures and your local communities, this is what probably is most important of all, is your local governments. Find out who is running. If you're not seeing a good candidate out there, get one. Do it yourself, whatever. But start filling the positions of city councilmen, county commissioners, and so forth with people who are constitutionally oriented. And I don't mean constitutionalists in the sense that you die on the sword if you don't have a constitutional understanding, but in the sense of wanting to do the right thing from a constitutional perspective. It will make all the difference in the world as far as stopping this agenda dead in its tracks, and then in future elections we can begin to draw it back. But the local governments, the state legislatures, governorships, as well as Congress itself, are all extremely important. And you cannot put a lot of energy into all of those. You have to pick what one you're going to do and get behind a candidate, or whatever the case might be, and hope that somebody else will get behind another candidate that is equally as good in another particular position, and try to get those people elected, because it is extremely important. Once you read this book, you'll begin to understand. I could not believe as I begin to dig this in. I talk about it in Rescue to Broken America, but I did not dig into it. I didn't really dig into who these progressives were, and you will be astonished, literally astonished, at how they are destructively destroying this country, and that with all intentions. In many cases, the progressives do not understand what they are doing, because they have this disconnect from reality. You heard President Obama last week talk about the fact that God told him he believes, I shouldn't say God told him, but he believes that God or Jesus would approve of his taxation. He has no concept of what Christianity is all about. None. And yet he's making these grandiose statements and so forth of what he believes is the right thing to do, that God would be behind him and all the rest. And when you start doing that, you really get yourself and the government and the people in trouble.
Yeah, I like the part about how Jesus would have really been behind him on Dodd-Frank and the healthcare bill. he did it for Jesus. I thought,
yeah,
wow.
It is astonishing. You know, and what he's doing is taking things out of context. We are told that we need to take care of the poor and so forth. I mean, that's our responsibility. But have the government do it the way that he's outlining the government is not at all what Jesus would want to do. It's up to us as individuals, the church, the body of Christ, as it were, or even in the synagogues, the responsibility to take care of our neighbors personally.
Yeah. Just, you know, under the header of people of faith, for sure. Because, you know, I understand that disconnect that you're talking about when, especially when we talk about issues with the environmental stuff, you know, I mean, just put the whole ball of wax on the table. Whenever you have those conversations with the other ideology, you can never get to a logical conclusion.
No, you can't.
It always breaks down into some sort of, you know, you just don't know what you're talking about, or you just don't care.
Right.
It always degenerates into a name calling. Hey, before we go on break, tell me the name of your book again.
It's Plundering America by Law.
Plundering
America by Law.
All right.
And
there
the
we
subtitle
go.
Is How Progressive Ideology is Destroying America.
Nice. Okay, so we want more about your book. So you have 2 minutes to go grab a copy so you can reference it, or better yet get your notes. Tell us what didn't make the cut. we want the outtakes.
It's going to be just about 200 pages long, so there's about 800 pages of information that I didn't put into it.
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to hear more with Dr. Michael Kaufman here on We the People Radio in just 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Tells lies. Are you kidding? Everybody's so honest.
Especially not the government.
I believe everything they say.
I do too. Especially if it's on TV.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mainstream ABC, NBC, and CBS especially.
Well, let's
my faves.
Well, we're getting some Fox bashers on the chat.
Guess who? Them too. Yeah.
All right. So, Dr. Kaufman, who is not Michael Shaw, by the way, if you're looking at our webpage, it's a second hour rescuing a broken America. Freedom advocates, Michael Shaw. It's like, huh? That little miscue. Robert's not on the chat, so he can't fix it. I don't know where he is this morning. It wasn't my day to watch him. But apparently he pulled a fast one on us and got our guest lines crossed. So, anyway, we'll get to Dr. Kaufman's info up there and get the book info and all that good stuff. Should always check ahead of time. I was a slacker. All right, Dr. Kaufman, talk to us about, like seven-ish minutes or something until the top of the hour. Give folks kind of an overview a little bit. What were the things that surprised you, since you already knew a lot about this topic of progressivism?
Yeah, and some of the things that I have in the new book are a repeat of what was in Rescue, and just because I have to tie the whole thing together. But what really shocked me more than almost anything else was the fact that the progressives, their lack of incongruence, their lack of being able to think things through, their actions are based on emotion, not reason. That sort of thing that we can see almost every day now, I mean, especially with Nancy Pelosi and some of the comments that she makes, those things were very common back in the late 1800s as well. And there was one of the early psychiatrists by the name of Gustave Le Bon, a Frenchman, a French psychiatrist. I don't know, psychiatry wasn't really a well-developed science in that time, but there were several of them. And he wrote a book called The Group, and he actually wrote several books, but The Group is one that he describes the characteristics of this, what he calls a mob. What we call today is a mob mentality. You ever notice how when something comes out that the progressives really want to promote, it's instantaneously, it's like a flash across the country. Everybody's saying the same slang word or phrase or whatever within 24 hours of each other. that is very common, even back 100-some-odd years ago, that they did this. They react to different things. They don't think things through. They think they're great thinkers. They think they're tremendous thinkers. But they really are very linear thinkers. They're told that they are very critical thinkers, but they are very linear. In other words, if guns shoot people, then we ought to have gun control. That is very linear type thinking.
So if you can't spell, it's the pencil's fault.
Yep. That's the kind of, I mean, that's taking it to the extreme, obviously, but it is really the case where they blame everything else for their own failings, and as a consequence, you see this machine, and it is really a machine as to how they, and especially when you got the mainstream media full of these progressives, that the mainstream media protects the president, they protect the senators and congressmen who basically they believe and support by not giving them bad reports, because they can't see them. One of the things that I was able to do is to contrast, for instance, some of the things that the progressives and these I don't want to say riots necessarily, I mean, they have turned into riots, but even before that, what they would do is basically say that, you know, we should, because of what happened to Gabby in Tucson.
Yeah, Gifford.
Gabby Gifford, yes, thank you. That we should clean up our language and not use the word war and all those other things. Within 1 week, they were calling for wars. They will deny to this day that they ever did that sort of thing, unless you actually had recordings of it and so forth. It is something they do exactly what they tell everybody else they should not do, and they really do not think they're doing it. I mean, they honestly think they are not doing it. They are one of the most hate-filled group of people that I have ever been able to dig into and understand. Try to understand their psyche. You can only understand it.
Are they the ones that coined the term conflict when they're talking about a war? I mean, isn't a conflict what happens between a husband and a wife?
Right. One of the things that they do is they're revisionists. Throughout history, they have revised history. Our founding fathers were nothing but a bunch of monsters at this point, as far as they're concerned. They do not deserve any kind of kind words and so forth. And they have literally changed history. Take the Depression of 1921 that President Wilson gave us. Huge depression, much worse than it is today. And within 2 years, because of reinstituting private property, free markets, and so forth, reducing the size of government and taxation that Wilson had put into place, they were out of it when President Harding took office. Try to find that in your history books. You can't find it. Why? Because they don't want you to know. And, of course, they become victims of their own clue anyway. But Harding literally turned this country around in a year and a half of being president after Wilson actually drove it right into the ground. And now Obama is doing exactly the same thing Wilson did. Exactly. We could be out of this depression. We could have good job creation right now. If we were to cut the size of government, I mean really slash it, and cut the taxation and so forth, we would just be a robust economy again. Now, it has to be done right. I mean, just cut and slash is not going to do it. It's got to be done correctly. But nonetheless, we have to cut our budgets. We have to cut the size of government. Government, as Ronald Reagan said during his presidency, is not the solution to the problem. It is the problem. And literally, Reagan, what we do not understand, we talk about this trickle-down economy that Obama just a few weeks ago basically said doesn't work. The whole concept of the free market enterprise doesn't work is what he said.
Yeah, that was comforting.
Reaganomics, back in the 1980s, when he said, it could have been done better. I'm not saying he was perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But he said, in 25 years, one of the best growth periods this nation has ever had, ever. They created more wealth in that 25-year period, including, if you even take out what the housing bubble did, if you even take it out, more wealth in that 25 years than in the previous two, a real wealth. Now, I'm not talking about inflated wealth, but real wealth in that 25 years than we had done in the previous 200 years.
And on that,
it really does work.
and yet
if we do it correctly.
Refuse to believe it.
All right, we're coming back with Dr. Michael Kaufman. Hit the webpage, www.wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
Let's roll, America. There's a battle to be won. Wake up, America.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You're back, and we're back. Hour two of We the People Radio. We're chatting and streaming at wethepeopleradio.us or give us a call at 530-605-4567. And we're talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman, author of Rescuing a Broken America. That was his first book.
And Plundering. Hold on. I wrote it down.
Second one almost hot off the presses.
Son of Rescuing America.
Oh, Son of Rescue. I got it. Plundering America by Law. Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of a good opener to what everybody's kind of asking in the chat room, Dr. Kaufman. What's your take on the Georgia issue?
Well, you know, it's one of those things, talking about Obama's eligibility.
Mm-hmm. That seems like plundering America by law.
Yeah, I didn't go into that in the book at all. It's one of those things where it is so esoteric that I just... How do you handle something like that? Because you don't know all the facts. There's no way of knowing all the facts. But you do understand that the so-called official birth certificate that came out last fall, or spring, fall, whatever it was, was almost disproven the day after. I mean, even I could download that information and take it apart with Photoshop and some of the other Adobe products that was used to basically doctor up that particular document. And for the judge to basically say it's proven that he was born in Hawaii is just beyond the pale. There's no way that could happen. There's no documentation that I'm aware of that would show that he has been born in Hawaii. I mean, real solid documentation. And basically, he is a... I can't help but think of go back to the Roman Empire. And again, this is not in my book, but go back to the Roman Empire. The fall of the Roman Empire wasn't by a conquering army. It was by internal dissent. Mm-hmm. And we had installed for the very first time a king, or a Caesar, as it were, from outside of Rome. It was non-Italian. And things went on for a while after that before it finally crumbled. But it was that point in which they had a... basically a palace coup, and installed a non-Roman king that the downfall of Rome was assured. And the same thing is happening again. I just cannot believe the parallel here when we have somebody that's not, does not have the credentials to become president. Maybe. I'm not saying I don't absolutely know. I don't know any more than anybody else does. But it appears that he does not have the credentials to be running for president and literally taking action that is destroying this country. I don't see how he could do anything any better if he wanted to destroy this country than what he has done over the last 3.5 years. It is literally astonishing. When you understand history and begin to put this together as I do in this new book, and you can get it out of Rescuing a Broken America too, but it's not as focused on this particular issue in Rescuing a Broken America. When you begin to understand history and how what made things work and how things didn't work, and understand how history has been revised into something unreal by these progressives, then you can begin to understand how he has literally brought us to the edge of the cliff. We are going down the same road that Europe is on right now, Greece and Italy and Spain and Portugal and Ireland and so forth, as well as France. France is starting to really start to suffer now. If Germany tries to bail everybody out, Germany's going to go down. It cannot be done. That's the other thing I've done in this book, is I've really taken apart the crisis that is in Europe right now and explained how it is failing and why it's failing and how we are following in its foot tracks. one of the things that we have to understand is we cannot continue to go down this same road. And yet when fairly lot, I'm on Social Security, folks, and I'm on Medicare. I'll be honest with you. I depend on those programs. I paid into Social Security all my life. And it is really a non-constitutional program. It needs to be changed. But when anybody suggests any kind of change at all, the progressives go ballistic because Social Security is a tool that they use to keep people voting for them. Understand that this has been their strategy all along. Same with unions. They use unions to keep them union workers voting for them. It's a plan for basically a political career. And it is tragic because the health of the nation is not considered in that formula at all. If you look at what's been going on with the Obama administration, with the democratically controlled House and Senate and so forth, they didn't care what was good for the nation. They just had to win. Win is everything. Winning is everything to them. They will do anything to win. They will tell you any lie. When I dig into this and really begin to understand what was happening and how they were doing it, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that there were people out there willing to sell their soul and destroy their country to win. It just blew my mind. And then basically use the mainstream media to cover it up so that we do not know what they're doing.
Well, tell
me. The whole housing collapse in 2007 and 2008 was because of the progressives. It was because of the progressives. And I explained that in Rescuing a Broken America. It wasn't because of greedy bankers and so forth. Those bankers were forced to do what they wanted to do, what they eventually wound up doing that was so destructive, by legislation out of Congress. It was astonishing. It's astonishing what these people are doing to this country. And we need to be able to, in this November election, throw the rascals out of office. And then we need to start cleaning our various agencies and departments and so forth, and getting rid of this ideology out of our government. It is horrifying what it is doing.
Dr. Kaufman, talk to me about this. You know, people say, people are perfectly, they have, you know, probably a very decent amount of common sense, and they make good decisions and stuff, and then you send them to Washington and they all turn into, you know, crazy people. I don't think people change that much.
I don't think so either. I mean, you can. I mean, certainly, if you all of a sudden accept Christ, that can be a major life-changing event for you. And people can change even without that. But it's not a normal thing. You have human nature. That's the other thing that progressives do not believe in, is human nature. They honestly believe that if you give people the right opportunities and so forth, they'll always do the right things. No, I'm afraid not, because we have human nature. We want to benefit at the expense of someone else if we can do it. I mean, that's just us. You and I and everybody else in the listening audience. We have selfishness and so forth that we have to overcome. It's inherent in us. And no amount of good government is ever going to take that out. We have to have balances. We have to have checks and balances. That's why our Congress was set up the way it was, so that we'd have checks and balances on power. And there would never be enough power accumulated by any one branch of government to become tyrannical. Well, folks, that is no longer the case. We are basically, because of this ideology, we have three branches of government, basically, that are on the same track to thinking that we have to install this utopian society that has never worked in the past, will never work in the future. In the process, will actually be destructive. If you go, it all traces back to Rousseau. It actually goes back to Greek, but I'm not going to go back that far. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, which I do explain fully in Rescuing a Broken America, that ideology basically establishes the state as the supreme entity, the sovereign in any nation. The way our founders set it up was with these findings of John Locke, which basically made the citizen the sovereign over the government. Well, we have reversed that over the last 230 years, especially the last 40 years. Now the federal government has become sovereign over us as citizens. And because of that, we are suffering, and we'll be suffering even worse in the future, because government has never solved anything. Government is there to protect our rights And as soon as government begins to think that they can make decisions, is that this company like Solyndra, it has got to be supported because that's the right thing to do, we have the problems that we have with Solyndra. It was never a good investment right from the very start. Nobody wanted to invest in Solyndra. Why? Because the whole concept of alternative energy is a failure. Right now, Europe is divesting itself of all solar and wind energy. They're no longer subsidizing it because they can't. It's breaking them financially. It does not work. It is basically a pie in the sky a pie in the sky type of concept that environmentalists love and been promoting and put tremendous political pressure on, but it doesn't work. And they can't face up to the reality that it doesn't work. They're still proclaiming global warming. And the ironical thing about it, I'm kind of wandering back and forth here, but the ironical thing about it, last week, the Met, the meteorological station or department in England, as well as the Cooperative Climate Research Unit of East Anglia University, these are the ones that were embroiled in the email scandal, not only 2 years ago, but also this year. Those people who have been promoting, have been manipulating data and so forth to quote-unquote prove man-caused global warming, finally, 2 weeks ago, admitted that there is a 90% chance of major cooling over the next 30 to 70 years because the sun is going into hibernation.
Oh, how inconvenient. Very inconvenient. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to take a really swift break. You can catch more information on this on wethepeopleradio.us. And that was Elizabeth hitting the microphone again. We can't have programs without that. So there we go. We can check that off our list.
Little comedy relief.
One microphone bash. All right, we're still going to be right back with you in 2 minutes. You are listening to KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
I took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I don't know what to say.
Hey, we did see a lowrider truck on our way in today.
Did you?
Yeah, I bet this was playing inside.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Borrowed that from Laura Ingraham's show, actually.
Oh.
She uses that as her theme for the lie of the day.
I like it. I like it. We need to have lie of the week since we're not on daily.
Nice. Yeah, I like that idea.
And it would be copying.
Another good choice, Bob.
Right. Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right, Dr. Kaufman, we're gonna. You're kind of like the lawnmowers where you had to pull the rope. We just get you going and you just take the grass down, you know.
Well, I'm not always like this. I guess I'm wrapping up the book right now to try to get it sent in for review and a variety of other things. So I'm very much focused on it and probably have too many of these random thoughts.
No, we like it.
To bring up to the
surface.
Yeah,
we do. No, we like it. Keep going. That's why I just think it's fun. We just it's like we just unleash you. Go. Okay, so we've made some. I always think about those people out there that are either new or that think we're just peddling so much, so much crap. And so when you say that the progressives really are disconnected from reality, I think a lot of us already see that. But could you give some specific examples that maybe people wouldn't have seen in the media, things that you found in your research?
Well, it's really an amazing thing. Let's go back to gun control. I started down that road and then didn't finish it. Gun control is one of those things where it sounds good that if we just controlled the sale of guns, I mean, the everything that we've seen here in the last few months and so forth with the congressional hearings with the ATF and so forth have been astonishing from the standpoint that all this gun, the guns walked across the border and nobody knows how it was done. Nobody signed off on it. It just happened type of thing. Well, folks, it didn't happen. It happened primarily because the progressives in the Department of Justice really wanted to show how bad it was for all of these guns to be sold and so forth and the damage that they would do. That's what Rush Limbaugh has found out in his investigations and the fact that they walked across the border and then came back and shot our people, killed our people, is not an accident. It happened, and now nobody wants to take any responsibility. And that is really typical. And Republicans are the same way. Don't get me wrong. We have Republican progressives, too, that are actually worse than the Democratic progressives. I'll talk about that in a moment. And we need to be balanced here in how we approach this. But the gun control issue is one of those that just astonishes me. They will use any excuse possible to justify the fact that we must have gun control, when in fact every statistic that's out there, unless it's been massaged, shows that when you have gun control, crime skyrockets. I mean, it's happened in England, it's happened in Australia, it's happened in New Zealand. Every time the gun control legislation is passed and people, the average citizen, can no longer own guns, crime skyrockets. Well, it doesn't take much of a genius to figure out why.
Well, the criminals will always get the guns and they know you're not armed.
The criminals can get guns very easily. No problem for them. But the citizens are no longer armed, and if the citizens aren't armed, the criminals don't have to, the robbers and so forth, don't have to worry about getting shot when they break into a house. And that's why so many of these break-ins now are even becoming more and more vicious. They're happening during the day. They don't care if the people are there or not, because, in these countries, because they have gun control and they know the homeowner is not going to have any weapons to defend themselves. It is... This is what critical thinking is all about. If I do this, what is likely to be the consequences? Anybody that has two brain cells to put together can figure that out. It's not really that complicated. But a progressive cannot do it. Literally cannot do it. They believe if they see the statistics and so forth, and I'm getting wound
those,
up here.
Those things that start
the
with that.
Statistics are incorrect. Right. And the everybody's wrong but them. This is the arrogance of this belief system, and it has always been that way. Since they control now the government, and they control the media, they control our justice system, and so forth, they believe they can get away with anything, and they do. Finally, people are beginning to call them out on it. And, of course, anybody that points this out with Obama is declared a racist and so forth. They think in slogans. That's another thing I wanted to mention.
That's true.
They think in slogans. You know, little sound bites and so forth. If you ever have an event, and I was watching Fox News back when, I don't remember what the issue was, but the head of the Democratic Party, I can't think of her name. She's a congresswoman.
But nonetheless, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Schultz. She was being interviewed by on Fox and Friends on a morning show. And basically, it was they were talking about whatever it was, and I cannot remember. It's in the book, but I can't remember what it was. She responded to every question with a slogan or a soundbite. And when the host, or hostess in this case, really started to pin her down, her eyes got wide like she was a deer caught in the headlights of an approaching car. She had no response. Literally had no response as to how to get to explain this without some sort of soundbite. This is how they think. The soundbite justifies everything. The soundbite will trigger an emotion in them and get them fired up and doing something that they don't have to think about it.
It's and it's one of those things that people out there that actually are fairly logical. I mean, it's actually just driving some people over the edge. You can see them right now in our chat room, if you'd like some examples. But is there any way to deprogram them?
It's hard. It is really hard. I've read several books on this issue now, and it's almost impossible because it's ingrained in their psyche. It's part of them. It's their worldview. It's like telling an Islamist that they're wrong, that they must live in peace and so forth. That's a real big hurdle to overcome, and it's the same thing with the progressive. The only thing, now McGovern, who ran for president way back in the 70s, I think it was an ultra-progressive. He had, while he was a senator, he had passed many, many laws, introduced many laws that were very socialist in their nature, and defended them to down to the death, let's put it that way. Not literally, but in that way. Defended them very strongly as being rational and the right thing to do and so forth. He then left, lost the presidency, the bid for presidency, went out on his own, bought a motel or hotel or something, and it promptly went bankrupt. And about 2 years later, he wrote a piece. I still think I have it. I'm not sure where it would be, where he said, I had no idea how programmed I was in this ideology that literally blinded me to reality. It's one, when they finally fail, as it will, if the whole nation fails, they'll blame someone else because they're tremendous blame shifters. But if it's a personal failure and they can see that their actions is what caused the problem, that's the only thing that apparently they have found in this research and so forth that will actually shake them out and set them on the right path to sanity.
Well, the nice part is, at this point, they're kind of defunding themselves. That's the part that's kind of, it's amazing to watch. I mean, if it wasn't so destructive, it'd make a great movie. You know, it'd be nice if it wasn't real and we could just watch it play out. But honestly, it's like Atlas Shrugged every day. You look at it and you go, really? This just isn't going to turn out well for you or anybody else. It isn't like they get out of it.
And the thing that's amazing is people say, how did Ayn Rand know this? Because she'd already lived through it. It's already happened in other places in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like where this is brand new and we have no prior history to judge from. We have a lot of prior history to judge from it. I have it in the book. The problem is that most of that history has been eliminated out of our history books. That's the other thing. One thing that I like about the Bible is that they definitely, I don't care if you liked it or not, you didn't change a dot and a tittle in it when the scribes passed it down from generation to generation. You duplicated it perfectly. You didn't try to put in words that you thought would make it clear based on what you believe it was supposed to say. They put it down exactly the same way as the original person said it. That's why it's so reliable. What we have now is a group of people that literally have tried to change. They're trying to change the founders in the progressives. They literally are trying to do that. Do you know that Thomas Jefferson almost died by the hand of progressives back in France during the French Revolution or just right after that? Because he went over there and was in the state of shock as he realized that they were following the Rousseau model. Thomas Paine almost went to the guillotine. Most people don't know that because it's been taken out of our history books because he spoke so harshly against the government that was being established after the French Revolution, which was based on Rousseau and this what we now know as being progressive ideology. And they almost killed him, both of them. And the only reason they got out is that Jefferson was an ambassador to France prior to the Revolution, and because of his stature, they let them go. That's what saved them. Others were not so fortunate. Whenever you trace down, go back into history and trace back where this ideology has taken root and grown, it's been the spawning beds of fascism, it's been the spawning beds of socialism, it's been the spawning beds of Marxism and eventually communism, and literally every one of them have been bloodbaths, except for socialism. And that is now changing in Europe now, too, because what we're seeing basically is more and more violence, and I think you're going to see more and more violence coming into this country as well. It is the history of this particular belief system is utterly violent. And you see the utter vitriolic hatred that these people have towards the Tea Party and towards other people who oppose them. Anybody that opposes them is some sort of mental midget and so forth, and they're degraded, they're demonized, and they're destroyed as best as they possibly can. It is unbelievable. When you really get down into the nuts and bolts of this, and I have everything documented in this book, It's not my words, it's their words. And that's what I've always gone on, is the fact that it can't be my words, it's got to be their words. And, it, boy, I'm telling you, when you find out what is really going on, it will be shocking. It will change your whole idea on who you might want to support in the various levels of government this coming November.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael Kaufman here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at millerautotransport.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
It doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's how you play the game, so get into the groove.
I've got the moves, baby. You've got the motion. We got together, we be causing a commotion.
Had to give Madonna some love today since she's doing the halftime show at the
Super Bowl.
I was like, where did that come from?
Hey, you know, she promised to keep her clothes on. I heard that. I read that.
I'm totally out of the loop. I had no idea.
Yes. No wardrobe malfunctions today.
Thank goodness. She is like in her 50s, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that's heinous.
I don't care how much you work out. Keep it on. Okay, there's my editorializing for the day.
And a moment of silence was observed. Okay,
so you're back with We the People Radio, by the way.
You know, of course, if you couldn't tell by that,
This is not your local Hollywood minute. This is actually all things under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
I think we should change it. Let's call it extra limited government.
Okay.
And I tried to think what Madonna song would work the best for us, and I finally settled on causing a commotion, because that's what we do best.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Sometimes more than others. So even though we haven't given it out yet on the show, someone actually did figure out the call-in number, which is 530-605-4567. And so we have a caller on the line for Dr. Kaufman. Fire away, Billy Bob.
Yes. Good morning, Doctor. Great show. Appreciate your enthusiasm and your expertise and your research.
Yeah, we count on people to do the research for us.
Well, again, great show, girls. I'm your favorite listener here, Billy Bob, out in Palisadro. But I've got one suggestion for the doctor, as long as he's just finalizing his book. I'll give him a suggestion for the last chapter. And I hear all of us frustrated, the whole world, the whole country. These legislators, I don't care who they are, don't respond. Once they get there and get into the swivel seat, they're all the same. Here's what we do. Congress is rated at 10% approval rating right now, 13%, whatever. What we do is we pay Congress and every legislator what the public approval of their performance is. If they are at the 13% rate, they get 13%, they get one secretary that's paid her wage. They don't have the staffers. They don't have the cars. They get 10% if they cut their budgets by 90%. And that's the only way you're going to get them off their butts and work for the people, is you pay them according to a public every quarter, just like the Dow Jones. We rate them and they get paid.
I would agree with that. In fact, I love your comment. Well, I would agree with it, except for the fact that I know how dumbed down, and I don't mean this in a negative sense. It's basically the fault of our educational system, but the people in our society are literally dumbed down to the point now where they do not know what is going on, what right is wrong and wrong is right. I give you a lot of examples in the book of how they have literally turned our educational system into a propaganda machine. And
I understand, but we've got a younger generation that is a little smarter than maybe the last.
Yes,
but, they're looking at Ron Paul. They're looking at Ron Paul's ideas. They're not dumb. They're technically smart. They're going to come about. But what I'm saying is that we have to pull the reins in on this wagon. Like you said earlier in the program, it's heading for the cliff. There's no way. Aaron and Elizabeth scream about it for 2 hours every week.
Yep.
We facilitate the screaming by others.
The only way to hit them is at the purse strings. That's the only thing you can do. They get a quarter of $1 million plus a health benefit package plus everything else plus the cars. It's crazy. And you cut them down, if they're at a 13% rate, they get paid 13%. Keep the secretary that does all the work on, you know how women are, they get all the work done anyway.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take my whiplash and off the air.
Bye, Billy Bob.
Love what he says. However, one of the things that I would have a problem with that approach is the fact that they have 10%, 10 to 13%, depending on what poll you're taking, approval rate is because of the blame shifting that the progressives have done. Almost everything that happens in Congress now is blamed on the Republicans, including especially the new Republicans that have a Tea Party type of approach of cutting back on government. Basically, because they have the support of the mainstream media, they are able to shift the blame. Just take a look at what happened last August with the debt ceiling debacle that we had. It became the Tea Party debacle. How did that happen? What is wrong with cutting back and cutting back on your debt and so forth? They made that a crime to try to cut back on debt. It's unbelievable how they're able to do this. And the polls are showing that most people disapprove of the Republicans more than they do of these progressive Democrats. It's literal, and there are progressive Republicans too, folks, don't get me wrong. But the fact is that they have a blame-shifting machine there that is second to none, where they can take truth into lies and lies into truth. It's staggering. I give you case after case after case where that has happened, especially the last 3 years, where the people that have tried to help this country have been blamed for what the progressives have done. It's astonishing. And the fact that we only have a 12 or 13% approval rate of Congress is a direct result of this. People do not want Congress to be so basically moribund in their deliberations and so forth, but it's the progressives that are causing it. That's what they don't understand. The progressives are causing it. They don't care because they know that they can put the blame back on the Republicans and hopefully get them thrown out of office this coming. And they're very close to doing that, folks. They're very close to throwing out most of those new Tea Party-oriented congressmen out of office this coming election because they have managed to shift the blame from what the progressives are doing it to these Tea Party people. It is astonishing. It is astonishing.
We have Charles on the line, so we've got another call for you. You've got people so wound up at home, now they're racing for the phones. Good job, Dr. Kaufman. Charles, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, a little off subject, but
no.
Tuesday night at the city council, they're going to be discussing the Climate Region Action Plan.
How wonderful.
Yes, this the plan by which we are supposedly going to be handcuffing ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
all
just bringing you a lot closer
to the
edge of the
warming
cliff.
Gods.
It's astonishing. I told you before the half-hour break that the very people who were all caught up in this ClimateGate email scandal 2 years ago and again this year literally came out with a statement, and it was not carried by any of the mainstream media at all, none, that there is a 92% probability that we're heading into a major, major cooling period where we could actually see the canals of the Dutch freeze over again, as well as the Thames River in London, where they used to have carnivals on the ice every winter during the little ice age back in the 1700s. That's how serious this is going to be. And the fact that is, I would much rather have global warming than global cooling, folks. And what happens is that all of a sudden your growing season is diminished by a month or maybe more. And there are many crops that we grow now to feed us that are not going to make it because they don't have a growing season long enough. And during the little ice age in the 1700s and 1800s, they literally had massive starvation and disease and plagues and so forth because of the low health conditions of the population without enough food. We don't want that. And yet it's likely to happen. I've been hesitant for saying this. I've seen the evidence now for about 5 or 6 years, and I have been kind of cautioning people. But now, when you have the very people that have been doing everything they can to promote man-caused global warming saying, well, we don't need to worry about global warming. We don't need to worry about global cooling coming out. There's a 92% probability that it's going to be really bad. That really concerns me. And here you have California imposing regulations and so forth that basically will bankrupt the state. I'm sorry, the state's already bankrupt.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Push you off the cliff entirely. Over an issue that is totally wrong. Billions, trillions of dollars are being spent on this global warming garbage, and it's a false premise. The only reason that they had it in the first place is that they wanted to get political control over the markets and so forth of the United States. That's the only way they could do it, was to control our economy, was to basically control carbon dioxide emissions, which basically is a result of energy, and you cannot run our economy without energy.
Well, and obviously,
it's not just the economy they want to control. They want to control literally every aspect of everybody's life.
Yes. That's what Agenda 21 is all about, is controlling. Most people, when I say this, most people think, he's just speaking. Take a look at it. You can find Agenda 21 on the Internet. Just type in Agenda 21, it'll take you right to it. The fact is that it's a 40-chapter document that literally controls every aspect of your life. Literally controls every aspect of your life. Now, it's soft law. By itself, it has no teeth to enforce what it has we've agreed to do. But the President, President Clinton, installed the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which then created what is called Sustainable America, which is based on the United Nations Agenda 21, in fulfilling Agenda 21, and that is now the guidelines of every agency in the federal government. Whenever they put $1 in the state's hands or the local government's hands, there are strings attached that goes right back to Agenda 21. So we're implementing it.
All right. Thanks, Charles, for that update. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with Dr. Michael Kaufman. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
All right, last chance. Dial in, call in, tune in. We the People Radio. Go to our webpage at wethepeopleradio.us and find out everything you need to know about Dr. Michael Kaufman. So, Dr. Kaufman, you got a little over 10 minutes. How would you like to wrap this up?
Well, I think one of the things that I really like to leave you with is the fact that we need to get active. This probably is one of the more important years. The United States has gone through many, many periods in its history that were critical. I don't want to make this any more than that. But at the same time, it is critically important if we do not to start to take back this country. We did great in 2010, but we have to do a lot better in 2012. If we have four more years of progressive control of the White House and the Senate, and the House of Representatives, of course, I don't know that we can ever recover. They're changing so many fundamental things, principles of our constitutional republic, that it's going to be very hard to bring them back. Because once they're in place, like Obamacare, they're in place. There's no way you can blast those out of our legal system and so forth. That's why the Supreme Court decision is so important, because it is unconstitutional. The Dodd-Frank law is basically giving over control of our financial system to the internationalists, because it's putting the Federal Reserve, which is not connected to the government at all, no connection there whatsoever. It's a private entity of private families and so forth that basically print money, all of this QE2 and so forth. I think somebody mentioned right at the first part of the hour, or maybe it was last night in an interview I did, but QE2 went all to Europe. Hardly any of it stayed here in this country. The quantitative easing, they went to rescue the banks of Europe, and now the banks of Europe needed another major influx of cash, because they're going to go down. If they go down, we go down, because we own so much of their debt. And everything is connected together, and because of bad management based on progressive ideology, it's all coming down in flames. And the only way out of it is either a severe depression, which I don't think is, I think what they're trying to do is to keep that from happening, or hyperinflation, which is just as bad. I mean, it's every bit as bad. All you have to look is the Weimar Republic in Germany back after World War I.
You know, if I could comment on that, just Google it. I mean, you could come up with a story that's a page long. I mean, it'll scare the bejesus out of you. Trust me on that. Talks about a guy that goes into a coffee shop, buys a cup of coffee, actually buys two cups of coffee at the same time, because by the time he's finished drinking his first cup, the second one has doubled in price. It happened that fast.
It happens that fast. Now, I'm hoping, and the chances of that being that bad are not very good, but it could happen. Once this thing starts to unravel, there's nothing to say what's going to happen. It could take a life of its own. At the very best, expect very, very high inflation. People like me that are on Social Security and so forth, we're cooked. There's no way that the government's going to keep up supporting the seniors and so forth of this country. It is really a serious issue, and we need to get people into office that are going to make good judgments. I don't know if there's any way to really make good judgments when you're in that kind of a mess, but at the same time, we certainly cannot just keep adding to more debt and more debt and more debt. One more last thing. Right now, it's $15.2 trillion. We're paying about $200 billion in interest. Why? Because we're the last game in town on the whole planet Earth. Everybody that has money to invest is investing in our treasury bonds. Why? Because Europe's worthless. They won't buy that. And as a consequence, when all of a sudden China, and they're doing this already, starts to look to gold, or you look to land purchases or commodities as they're doing, Japan does the same thing, all of a sudden nobody's buying our bonds anymore. Guess what's going to happen to the interest rates? They're going to start to skyrocket. They go up to 10%, and that's over $1 trillion a year in interest alone.
And the interesting,
we're in trouble, and we need to put the right people in government.
Well, the interesting part too is, you know, that's what I had mentioned early on, that this will eat everybody. This isn't just going to eat the conservatives. This will take down the progressives too. They're literally making a trap, and they're right smack in the middle. Hey, I got to ask you. There was somebody on the chat room, Kay, actually, the very, very beginning, who wanted to know. She was asking, Dr. Kaufman on a DVD said that the feds changed the department mission statements. She wanted to know where you could find those, where she could find those changes.
If you go to the President's Council on Sustainable Development, just type that into Google. It'll take you to Clinton's website, where Sustainable America, basically all the documentations for Sustainable America that I talked about, that is fulfilling Agenda 21. In those documents, there are a lot of documents, but in those documents you will find where they have literally changed the mission statements of our agencies from helping the citizens to protecting the environment from the citizens. It's a really astonishing thing. There are 7 of these sub-documents to a sustainable America, but there are a lot of other documentations. In fact, we have, and this is not on that website, but I do quote it in the books, in Rescuing a Broken America and so forth, that the EPA and the Department of Interior and so forth, during the 1993, issued internal working documents that basically said that we must begin to support international agreements, change all of our policies and so forth to these international agreements. And if you need that documentation, I'll give it to you, because I have all the documents originally that were floated around in 1993 showing how they were changing the policy to conform to this new. It was in 1993. It wasn't going to be out for another 3 years, but they already knew what was going to happen, and they were already beginning to implement it without any congressional action whatsoever.
Wow. Anything you email to me about the Agenda 21 thing, I will put on 24 Hour Patriots, and people can look under the Issues tab. There's a tab there that says Agenda 21. So at 24hourpatriots.com, you can find that. And we have all your, you know, your video when you were out here, and we've got links to your books and stuff. Tell people again the name of the new book.
It's Plundering America by Law. There's nothing on the internet yet about it. I probably should put something up here shortly. But it is, in fact, I'll probably put the table of contents up so that you at least can see what that will be, and it'll be on rescuingamericabook.com until I get its own website put up.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, if you send us, if you send me that information on email, we'll make sure and attach it to the radio page for the program today.
Do I have your email address?
You do. And I'll email you right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Because I'm a multitasker, although I did have somebody at a meeting tell me the other day that that there is no such thing as multitasking, and I said, you know, really? That just sounds like a cover story from someone who doesn't know how to multitask. But, hey, I could just be meanness on my part. Okay, so what else would you encourage people to do or watch
get
for?
Involved.
How about that?
Get involved. You know, people say, well, let somebody else do it. That's what I kept saying. And finally, you know, when I was pointing my finger at other people, 4 of them were pointing back to me. And I finally decided, you know, I need to take the bull by the horns and get active involved in doing it myself. Run for office if necessary, if you think you can do it. Support someone else, either at one of the levels of government. You can't support everyone all the time. You just can't do it. You don't have enough time. Pick out an area that you have an interest in. If you're a Christian, what God might be leading you to do, or whatever the case is, and then really put a lot of effort into that. If you have to miss the Super Bowl, then miss the Super Bowl. Now, that's pretty dramatic, I know, but I have to use an extreme example. We have really 9 months left to determine the future of this country. And Obama has repeatedly said that. This election is not about party. It's about the direction of this nation, which direction we're going to go. That's it. We're right to that point now. We have to get active and begin to support and really start taking back this nation.
And if you were going to point, like, let's say you had somebody who wasn't necessarily, you know, not somebody who's just a hardcore, you know, won't listen, but you had people who were like, what's the big deal, you know, that could be influenced. What's like the top two? What are the top two things you would have somebody point out that might alert someone, just in case they were completely not paying attention?
The debt is about to destroy us. Now, we've had, in my book, I describe progressives, key progressives, who have said that debt doesn't matter. They don't care about debt. As long as you can pay the interest, you're fine. Well, folks, debt does matter. You cannot get out of debt by having more debt. That's a fairly easy thing to say, and one, just don't say 15.2 trillion or whatever it is at the time that you're talking to a person, but say that our total debt is now approaching $120 trillion. That's 3 times more than all the currency that is being circulated on planet Earth today. There is no way we could pay it. We're in trouble. We need to make changes.
Well, I think most everybody who's listening this morning would probably agree. And even the people who thought some of these things sounded like a good idea, I think a lot of people now are realizing that this direction isn't going to take us any place good. We can't. It's interesting. I was reading an article yesterday in a newspaper article from over on the coast, and this family built a treehouse with their kids. The grandparents were building it with the kid, and they were within 85 feet of a stream instead of 100 feet. And so now this whole big treehouse has become this major thing with all these permits and stuff. At some point, really, we've gone too far.
Well, just, you know, I was in the grocery store a couple of days ago, and I'm standing in one of the food aisles, and I look at this woman standing next to me, and she looks at me, and then she looks down at the prices, and she says, "It just doesn't stop." And I don't even know her. I mean, there are so many people that haven't been hit yet, and by the time they are, it may be too late.
It'll be too late.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we're into the music.
Inflation is another. Your cost of food is another thing that you can bring up. Well, it's been great having the interview.
Holy cow. Dr. Michael Kaufman, you come back anytime you want. We love having you on our program. You guys have a great day. We're looking forward to your book. Bye, everybody.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.